happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Amen. I love Thanksgiving. I'm glad for Thanksgiving. And we're this morning going to be looking at our seventh lesson in what makes up a person. What are we? You know, we're a bunch of chemicals. We're a complex system. And, you know, we looked a little bit about the body and, again, just how completely amazing the human body is and how preposterous, if you stop and think about it, how preposterous it is that somebody could believe that life is complex, even simple life is complex, but how life as complex as us could come from nothing and through random processes. You know, just thinking about, you know, we've discussed so many of them, but I was thinking this week even about breathing. You know, our breathing is self-regulated. You don't think about your breathing, do you? You just breathe. You go to sleep and you still breathe. And your body knows exactly how much you should breathe. Sometimes when you're doing strenuous work or you're running or doing something, exerting yourself, you're going to breathe heavier. You don't have to consciously make a decision I got to start breathing heavier now. Because if we didn't have a self-regulating breathing system, we would either starve ourselves of oxygen and die, or we'd hyperventilate and pass out and die anyways. And how about our temperature? You've got a little thermostat somewhere we can turn the heat up or cool down. We have a self-regulating temperature system. And when you just stop and think about that alone, that our body can regulate its own temperature. And what's going to happen if we go over 105, 106 degrees, we're going to go into a coma and we're going to die. If our body becomes too cold, the same thing. But our body can cool itself down. Our body knows how to heat itself up to preserve that temperature. And again, we don't need to think about the temperature that our body is at any given time. It automatically regulates itself. Now, we would all think if we could put that kind of technology into something, that would be great, having that technology. But how did we survive before we learned how to breathe properly, before we learned how to regulate our body temperature? When this little this little thing came to life in the primordial soup 4.5 billion years ago, how did it regulate its temperature? How did it get oxygen to survive? And here's a great question. Where did it find a wife to reproduce, to begin the evolutionary process? It would have had to have found a wife and or a husband. But I've got to say that these days. We live in a complex body, and there's a lot of things that are packaged, all packaged together in this complex thing that we call a body. Not only we looked at the will. We have a will. Every human being has a will. And every human being, we've already looked at the intellect. We all have an intellect. Now, should the will be driven by the intellect or the intellect driven by the will? Who remembers what I said last week? Okay, our will is driven by our intellect, right? Our thinking. The way we think is how we will act when it comes to carrying out our will. Now, we're going to look at one this morning that, unfortunately, when we think about what should drive what in what makes up a person, we've got a will, we've got an intellect, but we also have emotions. How many people are aware of the fact that you have emotions? Amen? We have emotions. And I will guarantee you, if you're a human being, y'all qualify? And you've, you know, been alive in the last week, you have probably been on an emotional roller coaster this week. Right? Whether it's kids that are frazzling you, or whether it's, you know, maybe a situation that you found yourself in, and you're having to deal with the situation, your emotions will kick in, and your emotions are powerful. Amen? When emotions begin to kick in, it's like, man, everything else is gone. Reasoning, our intellect, our will, and emotions are suddenly at the forefront of our mind and the forefront of our decisions as well. And sometimes we allow the will to be driven by the emotions. Now, when the emotions kick in, they usually push aside, they will push aside the intellect, right? Like, you get a guy, a couple of guys who get a little heated and there's a little bit of anger, and all of a sudden punches begin to be thrown. Did the intellect get involved there? You know, maybe I shouldn't do this because I might go to jail for assault. Maybe I shouldn't do this because I may end up hurting this guy. Maybe I shouldn't do this because I may end up getting hurt. Do we stop and think, well, let's reason this out, you know, before. And many decisions in life, you know, when suddenly, you know, maybe there's a family situation and the emotions are flying, you know, whether it's bitterness or anger or jealousy or whatever it may be. And suddenly the intellect is just buried in the backyard. That reasoning, thinking, you know, okay, let's just stop and take the emotions and to put them aside and allow the intellect to begin to take over. Now, are emotions, here's a good question, are emotions given by God? Yeah. Can emotions be used for the right reasons? Even anger. You know, anger, people, well, anger is a sin. Well, no, not necessarily. Be angry and sin not. Anger is given to God, but we need to be angry at the things that we're supposed to be angry at, right? Amen? And when we think about certain emotions, jealousy, you say, is jealousy always a sin? Well, let me ask you this. Is God a sinner? Because the Bible says God is a jealous God. So is jealousy always a sin? Not necessarily. If their jealousy is for the right reasons. And again, we think about emotions. We have a lot of emotions. Tim, could I get you to turn Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. Connor, Psalms chapter 11, verse 7. Psalms 7, 11. Kyle, Hebrews 1, 9. Tim, could I get you to turn to Exodus 34 and verse 14? And Ziggy, are you okay to read a verse? No? Okay. I'll turn to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. And when these verses are read, I'll ask you what emotion is being stated here. So Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. Okay, so what do you think the emotion is there? There was an emotion mentioned in there. Hate. Is that what you said? Yeah, hate. Psalms chapter 7, verse 11. Okay, so what's the emotion there that God has? Anger. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. Okay, so we got two emotions there, love and hate. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. Okay, so there we have jealousy. And 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams." So there, the emotion is delight. So what other emotions are there? What other emotions? There's lots of emotions. What are some other emotions? Joy, yes, joy. It's more than just a dish soap, amen? What else? What other emotions do we have? Sadness. Absolutely. Any others come to mind? As believers, when we think of some of these emotions, we must love what God loves. We must hate what God hates. Here's another one, excitement. Excitement. We can be excited. That's an emotion. And we can be excited about the things that God is excited about. God gets angry about things that... get angry at things that God gets angry at. Grieve over the things that God grieves over. Delight in the things that God delights in. In other words, we must feel the way that the Lord feels. And our emotions should be in line, they should be in check with what God has and what God uses them for in the same ways. Most people, again, as I mentioned, are led or controlled by their feelings and their emotions. And usually, what is the result if we allow our emotions to dictate, push aside our intellect? What is usually the result? Chaos, disaster. And if you stop and think about maybe situations that you've been in where you've allowed your emotions to take over, and the decision you make or the act of your will is fueled by your emotion, you know, think about the outcome of whatever problem that you may have had if it wasn't dealt with in a proper way. If we allowed our emotions to take over. What would happen, honestly, what would happen if we allowed our emotions to dictate everything we did? What would happen? Just stop and think about it. What about this morning when your alarm clock went off? Did you feel like getting up? No. Your emotions said, you know what, hit the snooze button. Your emotions said, listen, just we have to go against how we feel. And so many times, even in life, you know, what's the key? Let's see how many ladies here. There's a lot of things that when I was younger, where everyone knew what they meant, but now sometimes people don't know what they meant or what they mean. But there was an old saying, never go grocery shopping on an empty stomach. Everyone still knows it. Why? You go into a grocery store, and man, you go buy those cupcakes, or you go buy the freezer section or the meat section. Everything, when you're hungry, everything looks good. And you want, and you start, you know, you if you allowed your emotions to take over, and you got everything you wanted or felt like, or that your emotions were telling you, you know what? Oh my, you haven't had that in a long time. That would be really, really good. It probably would be, you know, or maybe that second piece of dessert, or whatever it may be. We've got to learn that our emotions cannot dictate what we do and how we, again, exercise our will. We have to use our intellect and say, listen, if I eat that whole thing, you know, they're going to be rolling me down the street if I keep going this way. So we've got to use our intellect. And again, feelings, are feelings consistent? Are our feelings consistent? What do you think? No, feelings come and go, right? Our feelings come and go. And you know, we have, you know, soap operas, which are designed to take you on an emotional roller coaster. We have movies and television shows. You know what? Everything is designed to play on your emotions. And you know, you watch some of these soap operas, hopefully. because you need too many Kleenexes, right? You'd be crying 1 minute, and then you'd be laughing the next minute, and then you'd be sad the next minute, and then it just takes you every, because your emotions can change like the wind. And so we've got to, again, learn that our emotions should not dictate. It's like when we think about our emotions, it's like a guy who takes treasure and buries it really close to the shoreline of a beach. And then when he comes back to try to find it, he can't because the tides come in. And where he buried it, he can't even get to because the tide changes all the time. And we can't, our emotions are going to change. And they're fleeting, if you will. So when we think about fact, faith, or feelings, what should be the first, again, in our decisions and in our life, what should be the first motivating factor in exercising our will? Faith, fact, or emotions? What should it be? Fact, right? We've got to base everything on fact. Then, if you will, in the middle should be the feeling, the faith, sorry. And then at the end, the last thing should be our feelings. Our feelings should follow. Listen to this. This is important. Our feelings should follow our decisions. And when we make the right decisions, we'll have the right feelings. When we act right, we will feel right. A lot of times people don't feel right and they don't have the right emotions because they're not acting right. They're not acting right. Facts. Where are facts found? Immutable facts. In the Word of God. Facts are found in the Word of God. Is the Word of God, is it consistent? Does it change? It doesn't change. Facts are facts, and facts don't change. Emotions change, but facts don't change. So it's got to be based on the Word of God. We find that in chapter 23 and verse 19, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, Psalms chapter 119, verse 89. The Word of God doesn't change. If it's applicable today, it's applicable tomorrow. And we've got to understand that. We've got to do things that we don't feel like doing. What have we done this week that we knew was right to do, but we didn't feel like doing it? Do we always feel like doing the things that we are supposed to do? Absolutely not. You know, there are things, again, every single day we just don't feel like doing. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like loving that person. I don't feel like getting up this morning. I don't feel like eating that. I don't feel like this. I don't want to do those things. And, you know, we live in a world today. We live in a world, you know, I call it the Burger King mentality, have it your way, where people are out there, whether it's restaurants, who are going to give it to you your way, exactly the way you want it, so you feel good, right? When you go to a restaurant, they're not really concerned about filling your stomach. They're there for one reason. They're there to make money. And they know that they can make money if you leave that restaurant with good what? Feelings, right? Not like, you know, that they want you to be satisfied. They want you to be joyful and happy. And they want you to have the right feelings. And so everything, if you think about it, comes down to feelings. A lot of times, everywhere you go, whether you go do some paintballing or whether you go to this store, you know, they want you to have good feelings. And even music, and I've mentioned this so many times, about listening to the right music. Music will play on your emotions. Music is designed to play on your emotions. Music will change your emotions. It will change your feelings. And, this is a completely verifiable fact. The world knows that music affects your emotions. The wrong kind of music will bring out angry emotions. I've said this before. I can usually tell what kind of music somebody listens to by their emotional state. People become bitter. People become angry when they're listening to the wrong music. Music is so important when it comes to our feelings, and we've got to learn how to make sure that we have the right feelings, and what follows feelings, and what feelings should follow. Again, good feelings are the natural outcome of acting properly and acting according to the Word of God. You know, when you do right, you should feel right. Amen? You know, you maybe have bypassed the meal that you felt like eating, you know, the big greasy cheeseburger. And you know that, hey, I'd much rather my feelings, you know, going out for dinner. Well, what do you feel like tonight? Well, you know, I feel like this, I feel like that. Well, sometimes we just can't go by our feelings, and we've got to go and eat something that we know is going to be good for us. And you know, maybe we're not quite as satisfied if we would have got the really unhealthy food. But at the end of eating a good meal, a good healthy meal, we should be satisfied and emotionally happy because we've done the right thing. It's good emotionally. You know, when we stop and think about what we call psychosomatic illness, and that's illness that's caused by mental and emotional problems. People get sick, physically sick, because their emotions are wrong because they've made wrong decisions and because they've done wrong behavior, and so the mind begins to become unhealthy emotionally, and then the body begins to become emotionally unstable as well. Now, again, we can't just act upon our feelings, or we can't say, I will live according to my feelings. We have to say, I will live as God says we should live. And again, the feeling motivated life is a life of sin orientated towards self gratification. Generally speaking, our emotions are always selfish. They're self gratifying. Our emotions are trying to get things that will satisfy and be gratifying to our flesh. And I gave the illustrations of hitting the snooze button, or you know, I'm going to sleep in. I feel like sleeping in today. My body wants me to sleep in, right? And so we just make those decisions. And again, normally those feeling orientated decisions are self gratifying decisions. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, please. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, I want you to notice the word please or pleased in each of these verses. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And look at this, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So according to those verses there, who do we feel like pleasing? Ourselves. But who should we please? Well, according to these verses, we are to please... Look at verse 2 there. Our neighbor. Yeah, we're to please our neighbor. I'm sorry. In verse 2, let every one of us please our neighbor. Now, those of you that said God, you're not wrong. We are to seek, the pleasing of our neighbors, but ultimately, again, if we look in verses like Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we're to please God. And the only way, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, and verse 5 there, those two verses, the only way to please God is through what? Without what? It's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So going back to what drives what? Fact, then faith, and then emotion. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And read verses 7 and 8. And the Bible says there, verse 17, or verse 7 and 8 of chapter 17, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Now, here's the situation that Jesus Christ talks about here in this illustration. The servant's out in the field working all day. And what do you build up when you've worked all day real hard? An appetite. Oh, you come home from a hard day's work and, man, you are ready to eat. So the servant says, listen, I know you've been in the field all day. I know you've been working really hard. I know you've been toiling. But I want you to first go and make some food. And he says, I don't want you to eat any of it until you fed me. And then after you fed me, you can eat. So you want to talk about an emotional packed situation here. This guy, it goes home and he's making food, starving, stomach growling. I'm sure they could hear it a couple rooms over. This guy's dying to eat something and he's making food and he's constantly having to make a decision whether he was going to slip a little bit of that food into his mouth when nobody's looking around, you know, eat a little bit of that food. You know, he's hungry. He's desiring. He had a choice to make. Should he follow his feelings and enjoy this food now, or should he do what he has been commanded to do? What is the answer? What should he do? What he's commanded to do. So he can't follow his feelings. He's got to go ahead and do what he's commanded to do. And then later, again, after he was done, his master said he could enjoy the food. And after that, after obedience, his emotions will be wonderful. Let's look at another illustration. It's Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. And get somebody to read that when we found it. Oh, story 44. Matthew 5, 44. Okay, so the Bible says there, the Bible commands us to love our enemies. Is that what we are inclined to do? You know, somebody keys your car because he doesn't like you. Do you just want to go over and give him a big hug? Is that what our emotion, is that what we want to do? is it natural and is it normal for you to love your enemy? No, it's not. It goes against every single grain in our bodies to love our enemies. But the Bible says that we are to love our enemies, and it goes on a little further than that. It says, do good unto them that despise you and persecute you. You know, and I think about there years ago when we had a neighbor who was a little out to lunch, or should I say a lot out to lunch. And for a year and a half, he was doing everything he could to make our life miserable. He was waiting till I went to work, and he would harass my wife and do all kinds of things. He was off work, believe it or not, for mental problems. It was his full-time job to harass our family. We couldn't go outside without him doing something. And my mom even got involved, and she was over there one time, and they were outside helping. She was helping Diane Garden, and he came out and started doing all kinds of crazy things. So she called the police, and so he didn't like that. And a couple days later, my mom got a phone call. Says, you're going to burn in the fire. You're going to die and burn in the fire. And a death threat. And then we got a picture. Diane just happened to have been in London at the time and got a picture of his car in a parking lot in London. And then when they traced the call, that car was about 100 feet away from that phone. His car was there. We gave the picture of the car to the police. There's the phone. There's the car that phone call, that death threat came from. There's his car. And they said, there's nothing we can do. That still does not prove that he made that phone call just because his car is near. It would never fly in court. And there's nothing you can do. And so, what do you do? You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get a baseball bat. I wanted to go over there and punch his lights out. I wanted to go over there. My emotions were telling me to do all of these things. And I remember I was a fairly young Christian, but I remember reading in the Bible where it says that we're to do good unto them that persecute us for no reason. And that was one of the hardest things I had to come to grips with, praying for him. And not praying for a lightning bolt to come down, not praying for destruction, but just praying for him that God would bless him, and still trying as far as we could in our, you know, very, very limited dialogue, try to be as nice to him as we could. Do our emotions say do good unto those people that we have problems with? So again, another example. They are turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And of course, a very familiar portion of Scripture here. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain, look at this, the Bible says Cain was very wroth. He was angry. He became angry at God because God did not accept his offering. Now, this is an interesting thing. Cain disobeyed God. Cain knew exactly what he was supposed to do. The instruction was obviously given. But Cain disobeyed God, brought the wrong kind of offering, and maybe in Cain's mind, we don't know, we hear this all the time, but maybe he figured God would accept it more because he worked to do it. It was labor. It was his work. You know, God's going to be pleased with this because he knows how much labor I put into what I did. But Cain, he became angry and upset. His countenance, the Bible says, fell. And that's a change in his emotion. His emotions changed. Now, because he had done wrong, his emotions became wrong. So his emotions followed his behavior. He had acted wrongly, and therefore he became angry. His emotional problem resulted from his behavioral problem. And in many cases, that is the problem. Our behavioral problem is the reason why we have emotional problems. And how could Cain overcome his emotional problems? Look in verse 7 there. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So according to that verse, what did God say he's supposed to do to fix the problem? Act right. Do well. Just do what you're supposed to do. Have you ever known what you're supposed to do? You've known you should have done something and you didn't do it, and you sit there and you feel horrible, right? At least you should. Or you, instead of not doing something, you've done something that you know you're not supposed to have done, and then you're feeling guilty, you're feeling remorse, you're feeling anxiety, and all kinds of different things. At least you should be. And so the actions, again, the bad emotions, our emotional problems are a result of behavioral problems. So when we behave right, we think right, and our emotions are in check. I'll just go through a couple of these. Most of you know the answer. Why was Peter sorrowful in Luke chapter 22 and verse 62? What was the reason for his emotional problem? What did he do? Denied the Lord. And he betrayed him. And of course, we know the Bible says he wept bitterly. So his emotional problem was a result of a behavioral problem. Why did David, according to Psalms 51, verse 8 and verse 12, why did he lose his joy? Because of sin. The Bible says that he lost his joy. Why was Saul troubled in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14 and 1 Samuel 15 verses 23 and verse 24? Why was Saul troubled? Why he ended up, if you read the life of Saul, Saul ended up an emotional basket case. He was a basket case emotionally. And what did he do? Because he did not what? Obey the Lord. He didn't act right. And his emotions, you could see that in Saul's life, you can see that downward spiral where here was a champion, the champion of Israel. Here was the man handpicked by God to be the king, the first king of Israel. And he just seemed to be doing so well. But then as soon as he started acting wrong and disobeying God, we see that downward spiral where, man, he was thinking so crazy. Who would ever thought? You can imagine the chit-chat around Israel. Who would ever thought that one day Saul would hire a witch? Like, is this the same Saul that, you know, we voted in for king, that God, you know, made king, and is this the same guy that was doing such good things for the country and the nation? And now look what he's doing, and he's acting crazy, and he's trying to kill people. And then for all of those years, chasing David through the wilderness for no reason other than emotional problems. And if you stop and think about Saul, that's exactly the reason why he was trying to kill David: emotional problems. And those emotional problems all stemmed back to the wrong behavior. Doing the wrong thing. Haman, according to Esther chapter 3 and verse 5 and also 5 and verse 9, Haman was hot with anger. Why? Because he had disdain towards Mordecai. He was doing the wrong thing. and he had the wrong emotional reaction. Therefore, to be emotionally healthy and happy, we must keep fact, faith, and feelings in their proper order. Fact comes first. How many times do we get emotionally going? We just get emotionally out of control, and all, we're just like steaming mad, or we're this or we're that, we're going crazy, you know. But then we realize we didn't have the facts right. Oh, well, that changes things. My mom used to buy lottery tickets, and I think it was a $7 million something, $8 million Lotto 649 thing that was going in. And so my dad went down and got a printout of all the winning tickets. It looks just almost like a ticket, apparently. I don't know, but it looks like a ticket. But it was all last week's numbers. So my mom found it, and she thought it was the tickets that she had bought the week before. So she checked in the paper, and we won. The numbers match. And then she was having an emotional, talking about ecstasy, and just like, I couldn't imagine how excited she would have been thinking she won all that money. And then they got in the car, drove down to we won, you know, they're all having a fit, and here's the ticket, give it to the guy at the counter. And he says, that's not a ticket, that's a printout of last week's winning numbers, that's why you won. And so you want to talk about putting a pin in it, you know, and facts, right? Get the facts right. And that's, of course, an exaggerated story, but we've got to make sure facts based on the Word of God, and then faith in believing God's Word, and then feelings. And our feelings don't drive our life. They don't drive our actions. They don't drive, they don't drive anything. They follow. And so that's what we have to learn. And again, we must make sure we understand the facts, and then we must, by faith, act upon the facts that God has given to us. And I must let my feelings follow, remembering that when I do well, I will begin to feel right. I will begin to feel right. I'll begin to act right, and I'll begin to live right. Wrong living results in sadness and guilt and worry and sorrow and depression and anger. Sickness. I mentioned sickness. So we've got to, number one, understand God's Word. It is the facts. Number two, we've got to obey God's Word. That's faith. And number three, we've got to enjoy the blessings of obeying and pleasing God. And that's the feelings. Don't you get good feelings when you do right? Amen? I mentioned last week about, it may have been a little thing, by giving the school, the Christian school, the old dinosaur program, typing program. God touched me. He said, listen, you go down, they're only $5, buy them a new edition. So I did. And when I came in there and I gave that, again, it was only $5. It was just a little thing, but God really dealt with me about that. I gave them that brand new, up to date. Works with Windows 10, you know, all of the things, a new program. I felt good, amen? I felt satisfied. I felt happy and joyful. And that burden that was on my shoulders about me, it was a little thing. It was just a little Bible program, but it was still, I think, with God, a big thing. And I felt good, amen? I drove home with a smile on my face because I did right. I acted on the facts by faith. And we do feel better when we trust God and just do what He says we're to do. And there's so many, again, I'll close here, but so many times in the Bible, it tells us that we must act, and then it'll tell us the promises of God. If we believe, we're given everlasting life, and no, we will not come into condemnation. We've passed from death to life. If the sinner comes to Christ in belief, God says that we're never going to hunger. These are facts that God wants us to believe. And when we think about salvation, A lot of people base their salvation on their emotions. I don't feel saved. I had some bad thoughts. I did this. I don't feel saved. And a lot of people have come to me over the years and said, you know, I don't feel saved. Well, being saved has nothing to do with your feelings. It has to do with facts. And God says that if we believe, if we've honestly from the heart believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact is that God promises everlasting life. Those are the facts. The Bible says that if we come to Christ and believe, that we'll never hunger or thirst. That's acting on the facts. God said that we will have eternal life. There are so many promises in the Bible when it even comes to salvation that we must believe and act on the facts, not feelings. Again, life is so interesting in all of the different things it throws at us and all the different problems that life can bring our way. And we've got to learn to act on the facts of God. And then by faith, carry them out and then realize that the feelings follow. Amen? So, ultimately, if we're having emotional problems somewhere along the line, we've just got to ask ourselves, are we following the Word of God? Are we following righteousness? Are we acting right? Are we thinking right? And I'm glad for emotions, amen? I'm glad for emotions. God has given them to us. They're good in the right place. But the emotions should always, again, be the follower. Our intellect, our thinking, let it be according to God's Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. And we do have every day so many things going through our mind. We have the facts. We have our intellect. We have our will. We also have emotions all vying to determine what we are going to do and how we're going to live. But Lord, may we learn to put each one in their proper place. And we thank You and praise You for the Word of God. We thank You for all Your goodness and all of Your blessings. And would You bless for Your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. And amen.